The following podcast was sponsored by the Rood Awakening Coffee Shop in downtown Fayetteville. The Rood Awakening is a fantastic place to go with friends after seeing a great live show downtown. Grab a cup of Joe, sit, relax, talk about the show you just saw. The Rood Awakening Coffee Shop, 227 Hay Street, Fayetteville, North Carolina.
For I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys all know me, back where the girls all bow.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to the North Carolina Theater Story Podcast. I'm your host, James Johnson. And yeah, I know, it's been a while since we've had a new episode, but I have a good excuse. Debilitating laziness. Starting this week, the North Carolina Theater Story Podcast will be here weekly and give you more of a statewide overview of the theater going on in our communities, instead of focusing only on theater going on in Fayetteville, North Carolina. With that said, today's episode is only about theater happening in Fayetteville, North Carolina. So yeah, statewide, starting next week. See, this week, we are returning to familiar grounds, because Fayetteville's own Gilbert Theater is about to host the Pryor Awards on September 8th, 6 p.m., as part of their 25th anniversary season celebration. I can't wait to find out what I didn't win. The Pryor Awards is an annual event in which the theater recognizes the talents of the many actors, directors, and crew members who helped make their previous season possible. But this year, the awards show is extra special, as they will be celebrating the theater's upcoming 25th anniversary season. Part of that celebration means that for the first time, all three of the Gilbert's past and present artistic directors will be attending the event, including the theater's founder, Lynn Pryor. Go to gilberttheater.com to learn about how you can get tickets to this event. And if you don't have access to the internet, then how are you listening to a podcast? Lynn, who since retiring from the Gilbert, has moved up to Vermont to be closer to his family and Bernie Sanders' family, was also the founder of this podcast you're listening to, and our original host before I won it from him in a poker game. So naturally, I thought this would provide the perfect opportunity to bring the podcast back. In today's show, we will be speaking with all three of the Gilbert Theater's artistic directors, Lynn Pryor, Robin Parrish, and the Gilbert's current artistic director, Matthew Overturf, to discuss the theater's company's past, present, and its future. First, allow me to introduce the Gilbert's current head honcho, Matthew Overturf. Matthew has only served as artistic director for the Gilbert since February of 2017. But in that short time, he has already made his mark. There may not be an award show named after him yet, but with a name like Overturf, he's bound to wind up on UrbanDictionary.com. Please give a big pre-recorded hand to the vivacious Matthew Overturf. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, James.
I was wondering if you could tell us a little about yourself for those people who they might not know your background.
Sure. So I came to Fayetteville actually 4 years ago this August. So I moved here from a small town in Arkansas where I taught for several years, actually in a couple of small towns there. Taught high school theater and speech, and while I was there, was producing several plays and acting and directing as well locally. The other thing, I'm originally from Fort Smith, Arkansas, on the western side of the state. So moving to North Carolina was kind of a surprise for me. It wasn't necessarily part of the plan. I had been teaching for 6 years and was planning to move to New York and kind of pursue my own career there. And while I was here, all of the plans, I'd been hired in by a theater company in town to come in and do a show. And while I was here, all the plans for New York kind of fell through. So thought, well, you know, I know people here. Why not? Fayetteville's just as good as any place in the country. So let's just move to Fayetteville. And so that happened 4 years ago. And ever since then, you know, we've found that it's been actually a very good fit.
With this prior awards, now, it's, correct me if I'm wrong, this will be the first time that you, Lynn Pryor, the founder of the theater, and Robin Parrish will all be attending the Pryor Awards. Am I correct?
Well, in the capacity of artistic directors, yes. We've all attended it before, but, you know, this was, you know, or current slash previous artistic directors. So, but in the past, you know, I've attended as an actor or as a director. So this will be the first time that we all kind of attend together in this particular capacity. And the reason for that is because we are kicking off our 25th anniversary season. It's the silver anniversary. So we specifically wanted to have all three artistic directors of the company attend this particular Pryor Awards because it is so important to the history and the future of the company.
Yeah, so what are some of the things that people can expect from this year's Pryor Awards? I know in the past you guys have done silent auctions, there have been songs, there have been a lot of different things. Sort of never know what to expect.
Yeah, it'll be kind of similar. So we're going to have catering from Elite Catering. They'll be handling our food. It's going to be fantastic. It's just hors d'oeuvres, so people can come and get some light finger foods and go from there. We are going to have our silent auction, like we usually do. That's a great way. We're also going to be selling, of course, season ticket memberships if people are interested. They see the season, they want to go ahead and, you know, sign up to get their season tickets. They'll be able to do that while they're there. We will have some music provided by PB Productions, which is Paul Bruce. His production company will be there. And they're also going to have a wonderful photo booth so people can take some commemorative photos and take home with them from the event with our, you know, wonderful 25th season logo on there. We'll also have a special guest entertainment that we'll be attending, and we'll be giving out, you know, our awards per usual. But it's really just a time for us to celebrate what happened last season while also celebrating the 25th and looking ahead to the future for sure.
Now, it is of course an awards show. Are all the nominees told ahead of time? Do they know who's going to win and who's not going to win, or is this sort of...
They don't. It's a total surprise. I mean, they just know that they're nominated. And so it's a, you know, as nominees are told, they come in, they attend, and then it's a, just like any other awards ceremony, really. Not saying we're to Tony's level or the Academy Awards level, but it's a surprise.
Yeah, I remember there was a previous year where I saw people actually get teared up accepting these awards, which was kind of...
Yeah. It's just a way for us to honor, I mean, audiences vote throughout the season. And so for us, it's a wonderful way to honor the work that takes place on our stage. And it's a way for audiences to show who, you know, their appreciation. So it's something that we have found to be just a small token. Of course, you know, actors aren't necessarily doing it, you know, for anything but the love of the theater. But to be able to get some type of an accolade in that way is something that people we love to do.
Yeah, giving that little extra something.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, now I did want to talk about your upcoming season. What are you excited about for this upcoming season?
So this is going to sound very cliche, but I'm actually excited about some piece of every single show. I mean, Godspell, of course, is our opener for the season, and Robin is actually back in town directing that. We're in rehearsals now. So it's going to be a really fun show for audiences, but it's one that, you know, the Gilbert's never done, but I think kind of goes with the feel and the theme of what we're doing as the Gilbert Theater and have been doing for years now. Of course, we're doing It's a Wonderful Life, which we'll bring that back this year. Audiences love it, and they're making it a part of their holiday traditions. So to come and see this particular production. So we're very excited to be reviving that this year again. So then Doubt will be in January, February. And I'm particularly excited about that one just because it's the one I'm directing. but it's a show that I really think is important for our times, and is something that will cause audiences to really sit down and think. We have a very special cast member that we are actually bringing in for that particular production. I'm going to keep that one under wraps.
Is it the Pope? Because if it's a Pope, you have to tell us.
What? Yeah, right. So it's, you know, like I said, we're going to keep that one under wraps until a little bit closer. It's one particular role that we are bringing a special actress for. So we're very excited to have her come in. That will be, like I say, that will be in January, February time period. Then we're doing Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe in the April slot. And that one is just one, a wonderful story. And it's also going to be great for families. That's an exciting thing that we're happy to bring this year, is something that families can attend together. But we're also looking at using some very creative and different types of techniques to do this particular show. Really kind of think outside the box and how we are creating the world of Narnia. And then closing the season with the Laramie Project, which, you know, the Gilbert did the Laramie Project many years ago, back when Verlin was still the artistic director. But we are happy to be reviving it. And we are going to actually be including the epilogue that was written after Cole 10 years later, which was not in the production that was produced several years ago at the Gilbert. So it'll be something new, while also still being something familiar, but it's an incredibly important story that I really do also think is still needs to be told in this day and age. So it's going to be a wonderful production.
For an anniversary season, I don't think it's terribly surprising that you guys are doing something from the Gilbert's done successfully in the past. But I was curious about what about the Laramie Project? Did you think, you know, of all the shows from the past, that this one's definitely the one we want to see again?
Well, I think the Laramie Project is, we're still dealing, I would say, in our culture with some of these issues of human rights and equality and equity among people across the board. And this is a particular show that really, it really does tell the story of how one particular young man was not treated fairly, was not treated equitably. And how can we look back at these types of stories and take them as lessons for our future? So there is, I would say, and I would actually say that every show has a piece of that, right? So Godspell, whatever your particular, you know, religious or lack of religious beliefs, I think that we can all agree, just as human beings, that there's not a lot of love right now in the world, and if we're going to survive, maybe we should try to love each other just a little bit more. So this is a story about a group of people that came together under that kind of teaching of love, and they stuck with it, and they remained through that going forward. And then, you know, 2,000 something years, we're still talking about it. So, like I said, no matter what your religious belief, I think that that's an important piece that is going to be something for us to take away, you know, in this day and age. And then even, you know, It's a Wonderful Life, the Everyman's story about appreciating what you have and the people that are in your life. And again, that having that piece of love. Doubt, I think, is also an important thing there, is that sometimes we don't actually know the truth. And are we willing to live in that nebulous state? And sometimes we allow our own perceptions, our own biases, to cloud what the truth actually is. And that show absolutely cuts to the quick with that one. Of course, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, still dealing with that aspect of a loving type of a story where, you know, people that are, it is fanciful, but it does deal with this story of, you know, these brothers and sisters that go into this strange land, but also dealing with the sacrifice of Aslan and, you know, and what he's doing and how he's loving and how he's still showing to everyone kind of this, you know, this better way to be. And then, of course, the Laramie Project, where this community deals with this tragic event and how people stand up for others at the same time as they are standing up for just what is right in general. So I think there's the common theme throughout the season of we're looking at how can we, and there's a quote from President Lincoln, and I believe this is in his Gettysburg Address. Now, this is a bit off the record, because if I need to call you back and look this up, because I think it's in the Gettysburg Address, but he has a quote where he talks about, you know, returning to the better angels of our character. After this horrible, horrible battle, that, you know, maybe in a separation, maybe we can return to the better parts of who we are with one another. And I think that's an important piece in just where we are in society in 2018, that it's important for us to be able to return to the better angles of our nature and our character. And I think that the Gilbert season kind of speaks to that.
I think with this season, there does appear to be a recurring theme of Christianity. Was that a conscious effort?
That actually was not a conscious effort at all. And it was more a just how the kind of the cards fell. We actually had a few different shows slated for the initial slot, actually. For the musical specifically, and as theater does, became a licensing issue, and we weren't able to just with how things, just the cards fell. Like one show we were looking at ended up going back out on tour, and so they're like, no licenses for anybody. So it just happened that way. It wasn't necessarily a conscious choice by any means. But I would argue that people can absolutely still appreciate what is going on with these particular productions, no matter their faith belief or lack of faith belief. And I would actually say, like, It's a Wonderful Life doesn't really deal with anything related to that. Doubt is mainly just in a world where it is set at the backdrop of the Catholic Church, but it's not necessarily dealing with Christianity, quote unquote. And even looking at Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it's a fanciful story that people have read no matter their particular belief system. And then, of course, the Laramie Project it does deal with some aspects of Christianity, but it actually deals with some highly negative. I mean, the Westboro Baptist Church is prominently featured in that. So I wouldn't say that it is a a billboard or a, you know, or a advocation for it, or even a critique of it. I think it's entirely unintentional.
Well, next season you guys need to do Fiddler on the Roof to sort of balance it out.
I do love that show. I don't know that we can do it on our stage, but, and of course it is a bit of a departure. You know, we started last season with Evil Dead the musical, so I guess life is balance, right?
Yeah. When I first learned about the Gilbert, one of the first things that sort of surprised me about the theater was sort of shows they were doing compared to what was going on up on the hill at the CFRT. They were sort of, they were doing a lot of boundary pushing type of shows. Is it now, do you feel a lot more difficult to push the boundaries or do something that's taboo and surprise audiences?
I wouldn't say that I feel that it's different, but you know, even in Robin's tenure, we began to see a bit of a shift because as a theater company, it is still important to, you know, sell tickets and be able to keep the doors open, but not be afraid to push the boundaries and do something a little different. And again, last season, we did that. This season, I would argue that the Laramie Project and even Doubt are still doing that in a very distinctive way. And really, when we talk about shows that, you know, are on kind of my bucket list of shows to produce, those are two of them. So those have been shows that I've always wanted to produce, and they just happen to fit well in this particular season. So I don't think that it's more difficult, and I would say we're still doing that. It's just, how are we doing it, and how are we also still doing it with this conscious, place of we do still, are still trying to keep the lights on and give some bills, things like that. So I would say every theater company has to have that balance. And so it's just the reality of where we are. And being a semi-professional theater and a semi-professional company, it's something that we're still doing. And I'm excited to continue doing that into the future, is holding those two things in tension, similar to how Robin did, for sure.
So tell us about the you have an upcoming fundraising event coming on. So
we do. So of course we have our prior awards that's coming up. We also are going to be doing what's called 25 at 25. It's a fundraiser that we're going to be holding throughout the season. We're just asking folks to, you know, as a celebration of 25 years of the Gilbert Theater, to just donate $25. Maybe that's, you know, I don't order pizza one night and I just give $25 to the theater. It's a way for audiences to show their appreciation for us and also help us fundraise throughout the season to kind of propel us into the next 25 years. What we are also asking for is for people to post with the hashtag Gilbert Theater Stories, your favorite Gilbert Theater story. What is the thing that has made the Gilbert special for you? And we'll be sharing those throughout the season on our Facebook page.
Oh, wow. Sounds awesome.
Just as a way to celebrate, you know, celebrate the 25 years and how it has impacted people's lives in our community and how we can look forward to impacting people's lives as we continue forward.
Do you have a date for the fundraiser at this?
So the fundraiser is actually going to begin this week. It's mainly going to be through social media.
Okay.
And through our email platform. So if you have social media and you have all of that, that's going to be the primary place to look for it.
Awesome. So follow the Gilbert on Facebook, definitely.
Definitely Instagram as well. Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking out the time to speak with me.
Absolutely. Thanks, James.
Thank you, Matt. Now get out of here before people realize you have a much better voice for podcasts than I do. I said get.
When we come back, Robin Parrish.
Now, our second guest is the salami and the sandwich that is the Gilbert Theater Artistic Director sandwich. I am not great at analogies. Robin Parrish took over the Gilbert Theater in June of 2012 and served 5 years. In that time, Robin oversaw the creation of the Gilbert's education program and even helped create the annual Pryor Awards event that we're about to discuss. Now, Robin isn't only in town for the Pryor Awards, but also because she happens to be directing an upcoming production of the musical Godspell, which will be opening at the Gilbert Theater September 21st and running to October 7th. So get ready for double the shameless plugs. Please welcome the talented and handsome Robin Parrish. Welcome, Robin.
For those listeners who don't already know, could you tell us a little bit about your background before working with the Gilbert Theater?
I've been working as an actor since I was 10 years old. And I studied at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts, where I got my BFA in theater. And after that, I moved to New York City, and I lived in New York for about 13 years. And the last 3 years that I was in New York, I spent traveling back and forth between Pittsburgh and New York, working on my master's in fine arts at Point Park University in theater and pedagogy. For the 13 years that I was in New York, I started a theater company called Sonnet Repertory Theater, which is still up and running in New York City. It's a classic theater for the modern planet, a company dedicated to classic theater in all its forms. We did a lot of Shakespeare and a lot of Moliere, a lot of Brecht and so forth and so on. And I worked as an actor in New York as well, off-Broadway, regionally, and across the country. And that brings me to 2012, which is when I landed at the Gilbert Theater in Fayetteville and became the second artistic director taking over for Lynn Pryor, who was retiring after 20 years of serving as AD for the Gilbert.
So, what made you interested in taking the job as artistic director? What sort of made that sort of an interesting challenge for you?
Well, like I said, I had my own company in New York, where I was the artistic director of Sonnet Rep for 5 years before leaving for grad school, at which time I handed it over to Todd Boyd and Tiffany Canfield, who were two New York artists who took the company over at that time. Prior to that, I'd always sort of built and run companies growing up. I had a theater company while I was in middle school. I had a theater company when I was in high school. I always sat on the board of various companies throughout my community theater days. So producing was something that I'd always enjoyed, and I'd always found that it was just really something that I loved to do and something that I wanted to continue to do throughout my life. So I started looking towards the end of my years at grad school in Pittsburgh. I started looking for opportunities like the one at the Gilbert, and I just happened upon it. One day, I believe that I saw it on Playbill, which is a most people are familiar with. And I thought, this is great. I'm originally from the South. I'm originally from the Carolinas. This is a position that I know that I could excel at, and I would be close to my family. And it sounds like something awesome, and I should pursue it. And of course, once I met Lynn, I realized that we were very similar in that we had very similar backgrounds, and we had both sort of started these theater companies. And I understood that the Gilbert was his, you know, was really his baby, his pride and joy, and I understood what it meant to have to hand the reins over to somebody else. It's a very difficult thing to do. So we connected in that way, and I think that was one of the reasons why he felt like I was the right fit, and definitely one of the reasons why I felt like I was the right fit.
Now, the Prior Awards, which are coming up, and you and Lynn and Matthew are all going to be attending. The Prior Awards was your original invention, am I correct?
Yes, it was. I did start the Prior Awards as a way to honor the artists that worked so tirelessly and for the Gilbert with very little to no recompense. It was just a way that we could honor those people and kind of celebrate the theater annually, and also serves as the major fundraiser for the year. So, yeah.
But that wasn't your only sort of addition to the theater after you became artistic director. You also brought along the education program. You made a lot of changes that were, you know, certainly good business.
Yeah, I was actually the first full-time employee that they hired. My position was the first full-time position that had ever been created at the Gilbert. And then after I came in, we created several part-time positions in addition to my full-time position. And those were funded primarily by the education program, which I and my team started. But one of the main reasons, or one of the main, I guess, objectives that the board asked me to pursue when I first got to the Gilbert was starting an education program. And it's something they had wanted to do for a long time, something that Lynn had wanted to do for a long time. And so it was like at the top of the list for goals. So it was something that I was asked to do, and it's something that I had a lot of background in. I'd worked a lot at Children's Theater Charlotte. I worked in camps in upper New York and in Manhattan in after school programs and things like that. So I had a lot. I had a big education resume, and that I think was one of the reasons that I was chosen in addition to my other assets, I guess you'd say.
With the Prior Awards, do you have anything you're looking forward to in particular?
I just think it's going to be really exciting to have the three of us there. You know, Lynn and myself and Matthew, and I'm currently in town directing the opening show of the 25th anniversary season, which is Godspell, which opens on September 17th. I think that this community that Lynn created and continues to, I don't know how else to describe it, garden, to foster. I mean, he stays involved. So Lynn created this very close-knit family, and it still remains so today. The three artistic directors are very close and kind of lean on each other for a lot of support, and are very invested in the Gilbert and its future. So I think it's exciting that all three of us will be there for the 25th anniversary season.
Now, you served as artistic director for, was it 6 years?
It was 5 full seasons before I left.
5 full seasons, wow. And what made you decide that it was time for you to move on?
Well, personally, I guess I knew when I got to the Gilbert that I wanted to stay. And I think the idea was that we might stay much longer than we did. But my husband and I were interested in having a family. That didn't really pan out. So we kind of looked at had to reassemble our lives and look at what we wanted to pursue. And we both felt that we wanted to be in a larger market professionally, both in acting and directing. My husband, Matt, became a full-time actor upon our move. So it was really sort of a joint decision that we made, wanting to kind of be in a larger market to pursue both acting and directing and be on more of a I can't think of the word right now.
I think we got the gist.
Yeah, the gist. Freelance. I was interested in freelancing more as an actor and a director. Yeah.
Yeah, the freedom is probably very important when you're pursuing something like that. What have you been up to lately? Are you living in New York now? Are you living in Pittsburgh? Or?
I kind of split my time, myself and my husband kind of split our time between Pittsburgh and New York, although he's been on a national tour for the last 2 years, so he's just been all over the country. But I split my time between Pittsburgh and New York working as an actor and a director. I most recently directed a production of Grey Gardens with Front Porch Theatricals in Pittsburgh. And before that, I was singing and puppeting in Avenue Q at Pittsburgh Musical Theater as Lucy the Slut. And coming up, I'll be doing some workshop work over at the Public Theater in Pittsburgh and then traveling to Sonora, California to do Church Basement Ladies out at Sierra Repertory Theater. And the next year I'll be directing more. So essentially the plan, which came to fruition, which was that we would be freelancing and traveling and enjoying the hippie lifestyle of the artist.
So can you tell me a little bit about this production of Godspell that you have coming up?
Well, we've got a great cast for this production of Godspell. We've got a wonderful music director, Catherine Anderson, who's currently music directing Sister Act, and like I said, a wonderful cast headlining. The cast is Ricky Jacobs, who is playing the role of Jesus. Matthew Overturf, the current artistic director at the Guildford, is playing the dual role of John the Baptist and Judas. And then we have 11 or 12 other fabulous singer actors from around Fayetteville and beyond. I think a couple of them are from Sanford, not just in the Fayetteville area. And a lot of new faces, as well as people that locals will recognize. So kind of a mix of old Guildford folk and new Guildford folk, people that have just moved to the area. So it's an exciting group of people. We've just been working now for about a week. And we open on September 21st. This Godspell is set in modern day. And we're not doing anything incredibly complicated in terms of concepts. I think for anybody who loves Godspell, it'll be recognizable. And for anybody who doesn't know it, I think it'll be a lot of fun. It's a fun show, and it's a complicated show. It's not, it's a show of vignettes and a show of parables. It's a lot of pseudo-complicated and awesome music. So they're working hard, and I think it's going to be pretty great.
So how is the sort of the tone during the rehearsals? Does it feel like, are people like scared of cursing, or does it feel very sort of like, oh, this, we're dealing with religious text?
No, not at all. Not at all. Because I don't think it's really a religious musical, you know. It's not about ringing people to religion or to follow Jesus per se. I think it's more more about a teacher and his students, you know, and it's a lot about love, and it's a lot about how to live your life in a positive way. So I think anybody from any walk of life or any sort of religious or spiritual practice could get a lot out of it and enjoy it. I mean, we're certainly not approaching it like this is a Christian play or this is at all. I mean, we're really approaching it like this sort of rock star Jesus and his, you know, similarly to maybe Jesus Christ Superstar, in that he's a celebrity who has this group that follows him, and he ends up, you know, teaching them some pretty important life lessons.
You have this upcoming Prior Awards event coming up. Are you performing in this? Are you just going to speak?
I'm not. I may be doing a little emceeing. But aside from that, that's the extent of my, at least not so far.
They gotta let you present an award, don't they?
Oh, they probably will. I really just don't know. I mean, I haven't been really told, but I'm just going to kind of be there and poised to do whatever they need.
Oh, man. I hope they have a rehearsal.
We'll see.
Awesome. Do you expect that you'll be directing some more shows for the Gilbert soon?
I do not know. I mean, I assume next year, not this year probably. I think that's all lined up. But I'm sure I'll keep coming back for as long as I can, as long as they'll have me.
Cool. Well, we always enjoy having you back. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what you do with Godspell. It should be awesome. Thank you so much.
Up next, Lynn Pryor.
Walking off my tired feet.
Our final guest is certainly no stranger to the podcast, as he was the founder and host of this show. But he's here to talk about a creation which he's actually proud of, the Gilbert Theater. I'm going to ask that our pre-recorded audience please stand up and welcome the one, the only, Lynn Pryor.
You'll be back soon, you see. You remember you belong to me.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. The audience at home can't see this, but Lynn has successfully somersaulted over our band. My God, the agility. My God.
First off, I want to ask you, how are you enjoying retired life?
Well, I never use the R word, and it's not just a trick or a stunt. It's irrelevant to me. I don't know where that word ever entered the. I guess it probably came from the time when people, you know, worked with themselves manually and just looked forward to retirement. I don't know what to say about it, but I don't use that word, and so it's just my life just kind of continues as the way it always has been, and it's just a different geography and different set of circumstances.
So you are coming back to Fayetteville for the Prior Awards. We mentioned that earlier in the show. What about this year's Prior Awards? Did you think I have to be there for that? This one. This is.
Well, I missed the last 2 years for one reason or another, and it sounds like so much fun. And when I was there before we moved, I came to them, of course. But now being up in the North Woods, I couldn't come. But now, but the committee just almost blackmailed me into not really kidding. They said, "You have to come. You have to come." So I don't know what. Is there something special going to happen? I know that there's going to be catering, extremely good catering, and that's always nice to think about food in my case, or mainly dessert. But I don't know what I can expect, but it was just a matter of you better be here or I will be excommunicated. So I'm there, and given the fact that I'm on a walker, I've had to go through a lot of walker temporarily. I know the doctor is going to tell me that, and but I am, and so I went through a lot of hoops with working with the airlines, and I'm going to be in a wheelchair. I'm going to do this to that, and they may have to carry me to my seat. I hope those are two hunky guys. That's all I can say. So there are pluses to this whole thing I'm learning, and Bob is complaining at times if I ask him to do one more thing. I try to keep that list a number of times to very short. Where life is too good to dwell on inconvenience, my life is too marvelous to let that define it. What was your question?
I was asking, what about this year's?
Oh, why I'm coming? Yeah, well, no, I dare not be there, and I mean, it is. I'm Rhonda and Frank are my hosts, and they've given me. I needed a ground floor bedroom and ensuite, and it's a beautiful bathroom and that wonderful bedroom, and they're going to be upstairs on a cot or something. So that's friendship for you.
Rhonda was a frequent actor, and she did some directing for the Gilbert Theaters.
Yes. I mean, she's one of the founders, and just been absolutely superb in so many ways. But they're both staying with them. But I've said to people, if you want to see me, you have to come over to their house. And I know people are going to do that. But I'm going to be interviewed by The Observer on Friday with Robin and Matt. So it's going to be a glorious weekend, and so nice of the West African rep, Isabella, to offer that space once again. It's going to be a glorious evening, and I'm going to be sitting there in a wing chair, and people can come over, and I'll have a funny story or two. You know that.
This will be the 25th anniversary. When you first started the Gilbert?
Well, we need to be a little bit careful about that. It's not the 25th anniversary. It is leading into the 25th season.
Oh, okay.
And see, there's somebody that's going to catch us on that if we get too grandiose about it. But the 25th season, and by so next June, the 25 seasons have been completed. But I just wanted to make that.
I don't want anyone's lawyers calling me.
Anyway, what else were you going to say?
So this will be the 25 seasons, or leading into 25 seasons. When you started the Gilbert, was there any plan in your mind? Did you imagine? Would you be able to imagine that the theater would have been around for this long?
Well, you know what? I was just too busy to even think about the future. It was just, you just put one foot in front of you. You just open the door to one more patron. You just scrounge your money one more time and got through that play, and then had board meetings in the living room and my God, it was so unprofessional. I didn't know what I was doing on any of this score. I just took blind faith that I was not going to mess up too much as far as stuff went. But the board meetings were all these actors who were on the board and all this going on and on and on. You know, in 94, 95. And then I had to put a piece of butcher paper. This is because all this was going on in 647 Brent's Lane. The board meetings, the attic had costumes and props. Then the second floor, we had to bring party time. People would pass out in the guest room. And then guests and patrons would go to the bathroom. Total strangers were all over the house. It was absolutely marvelous, and the main floor was the lobby and the the dining room. We had the you know me, you're going to cut me off and you won't get half your questions. Anyway, this is deja vu all over again, for sure, for you and for Roger Mullen, if he's listening. anyway, the main floor was, you know, it was the lobby, and it was, we had wine coolers and Alexandria. And then the basement was the black box, and then seating 40 people. And then the garden was a wonderful Gilbert Garden Place in spring and fall. Three in the black box, two in the garden. But back to your question. No, I didn't even think about, well, I thought about the next play. I thought about having enough money and producing and getting people to pull together. And then one would be with one at the theater. God, one was over. And then you were planning all the while that performances were going on. You're planning the next one and making sure you had everything in place. And so then then the first year passed, and then the second, and then eight. And then we were still in the house, and through that eighth one, the 49 plays, when the axe fell and we were cast out in the park, so to speak. But then we, you know, when the Arts Council, and then we got this wonderful space at Old City Hall. And so now it's only now that I kind of reflect on it and say, oh, that's right. it's the 25th season. So did I think it would reach here? I didn't think about it. It just happened. And the wonderful support of the city and our patrons and actors coming up and theater people come from everywhere. And, you know, you build a theater, the people will come and come and come and come. And it was all so exciting and challenging. And I didn't think about the future, but I can look back now and people keep saying to me, oh, what a legacy. And I said, oh my gosh, that's right. Anyway.
So have you been keeping up to date with what's going on for the theater now? Or are you?
Well, quite a bit. I mean, I'm always open for gossip, goodness knows. but I will, and goodness knows any theater company is going to have lots of good stuff. For those Robin's years, I would talk with her a lot, and then I did things after she came about. That was that pig, you were part of that, weren't you? It was called Plays Imagined Group, and that's an acronym for pig. And I so the, this is where people who were like you and James Keene and others came, and we gave ideas for plays for the playbook that future artistic directors could, you know, look at. And then I kind of came in occasionally and kind of cleaned up the library. You know, I was so proud of the library. You know, it really is a wonderful something, I think, for a company to have. You know, there's hundreds of book, I mean, you know, just all kinds of books and plays and on directing, on acting, on scene design. So I just know that it's being used a lot. And so I tried to follow Thorpe's axiom, when I heard her. She said to me that I, unless I'm asked about something, I keep my mouth shut. So Bo, if you're listening, I hope I'm not paraphrasing too much, but that was the essence of it. So I took that to heart. And so Bloody Tongue, no, only once or twice, I think. But my current life is, you know, that when I left Fayetteville and I was asked by Roger Mullen, are you going to miss us? And I said, no, I'm not. Why? Because I'm taking everyone with me. You know, you can't have an experience like that 24 years, you know, about a third of my life and counting. and and it's just huge in my life. And I think about, I'm here in the North Woods, but I'm thinking about people, and I'm hearing about lives and friends and who's new in the stage and who's directing the next play. And so there's all of that, which is just very satisfying, but that doesn't bring, I don't sit here thinking, oh, you know, I wish people would call me about this or that. I live in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And the past is a good place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there, as I can't take that credit for that, but it's a good one. But no, I care tremendously about the present and the future and the past of the Gilbert. But it's in good hands, and it's an institution, and it's going to go on. And there'll be a 50th, there'll be a 30th anniversary, and I'll very likely be here. And the 35th, I'm meant to be as old as the mother. I'll be there for the 10th. The 35th. Beyond that, I don't think it'll just have to be for me.
No, we will keep you alive as a cyborg if necessary. Just connect you to computers.
Anyway, does that answer that question?
Yes. Before I let you go, I did want to ask you, since you mentioned that you weren't going to offer any sort of recommendations unless asked, I will ask if there's a show that you've seen or you've heard or read recently that you would love to see a theater company, maybe even the Gilbert Theater, pull off.
Oh, well, I thought you were going to ask whom I wanted to run it as president in 20, but I'm not going to go there on that. And I know you were trying to trap me, I get your question, and yes, there is one, and I've spoken with Robin about it, spoke with Matt about it. It's my favorite musical, and I would tell you right now what it is, but I don't want other companies to even be aware of it.
All right, and so
that's very evasive, but it would be an absolute tour de force for that town. That multiracial, multi-ethnic town. And if you want to know what it is, ask Matt or Robin. And I'm thinking of longevity. I would love to have it on the list for this a coming season. And if so, I would get there somehow or other and hook onto a drone or something. But I don't, I'm serious about this. I don't want this name out there and have it appropriated by some ne'er-do-well company. I'm just kidding. But I still mean it. But so if you want to know what it is...
I'm kidding, but I mean it.
Or I mean it and I'm kidding. I can't remember which. So can this do as my... Can this do as my stand-up for the day? Since I'm sitting down. My stand-up's getting better.
Oh, that's good.
That might be my next gig. but there are some people who say, don't quit your day job. But nevertheless, I'm surrounded by kind people, with a few exceptions.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you in the clubs.
All right.
Doing your stand-up.
Yes.
Hopefully your Netflix special will be out soon.
Anyway, James,
anyone can
Johnson,
do it. I'm sure you can. So, yeah.
Okay, well, good. Well, James Johnson, you're absolutely fabulous. Thank you for everything you did for the North Carolina Theater Stories, and I guess this interview is going to be expanded on that podcast. Is that it?
Yes, we're including
this. It. Well, that'll be something for everyone to listen to, and I thank you for all that you did for that, and even though at times you drove me crazy and I had to threaten to call your mother, but your mother will be... but you'll be happy to know I never did once follow through on that.
Well, she listened to the show anyway, so she probably...
Okay. All right. So that's it?
Yep. Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
And
all right. So we'll see you Saturday night, if not before.
I will see you Saturday.
They shouted hooray for that sausage on display. Where did we go right?
A leading man was okay. He nearly flew away. Where did we go right?
Wow. That was spectacular. I really want to thank all of our guests this week for taking time out of their schedule to talk with me. Follow us on Facebook, give us a nice review on iTunes, listen to old episodes at nctheaterstories.com, and please come back again next week. Dim the lights, fade to black.
For I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town, yes, I'm longing to stroll on.